Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, titled Jnana Yoga, text number 33. Purvam Grihitam Kuna Karma Chitram. Ajnanamatmanya Vivektamanka. Nirvartadena Tyuna Parikshayeva. Nagrihyadena Vivisrajya Atma. Purvam. Previously. Grihitam. Accepted. Guna of the modes of nature, karma by the activities, chitram made varied, ajnanam the ignorance, atmani upon the soul, avivictam imposed as identical, anga my dear Uddhava. Nirvartate ceases, tat, that, punaha, again, ikshya, by knowledge, eva, alone, nagrihyate, is not accepted, na, nor, api, indeed, visrajya, being rejected, atma, the soul. Translation. Material nation, which expands into many varieties by the activities of the modes of nature, is strongly accepted by the conditioned soul to be identical with the self. But through the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, my dear Uddhava, this same nation fades away at the time of liberation. The eternal self, on the other hand, is never assumed and never abandoned. So here is a purport by followers of Srila Prabhupada. It is emphasized here that the eternal self is never assumed or imposed as a material designation, nor is it ever abandoned. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, the soul is eternally the same and does not undergo transformation. The modes of nature, however, creates the gross material body and subtle mind as a result of one's previous fruitive activities, and these gross and subtle bodies are imposed upon the soul. Thus the living entity can neither assume nor reject the soul, which is an eternal fact. Rather, one should give up the gross ignorance of material consciousness by cultivating spiritual knowledge as indicated here. So the verse is Purvam Grihitam Gunakarma Chitram Ajnanam Atman Avivictamanga Nirvartate Natsi Parikshayeva Nagrihyate Navavisrujya Atma. Om Ajnanate Virantasya Jnananjana Shalakshaya Chakshurimritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Datati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vikashakhanitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhubhye Vaja Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So here, the conversation between Lord Sri Krishna and Uddhava is continuing, and we are at Jnana Yoga. Here Krishna explains the importance of Jnana Yoga. Here we can see the analysis of the soul in connection with the material nature, in connection with the gross and subtle material bodies. So the first point it is mentioned here, that is the material nascence, which expands into many varieties by the activities of the modes of nature. And this is accepted by the conditioned soul as the self. So both the gross and subtle body are accepted by the spirit soul, which is completely aloof from the matter as one's own self, which is only due to ignorance, due to the mode of material ignorance. We can see in this world, this is the primary identification that one has. Even though one is completely spiritual, separate from gross and subtle bodies, one is completely bewildered and completely identified with the gross and subtle body and things which are related to these gross and subtle bodies. So it is called expansion. It is not just the body itself, but whatever is connected to the body is also assumed as one's own self. Here, Srila Prabhupada gives a famous example, you know, about the car and the driver. That is, if somebody hits the car, one says that, okay, you hit me. Actually, nothing has happened to him. Maybe only a scratch on his new BMW. But at the same time, since he is identifying completely with his possession, he thinks that something has happened to him. So this is identification with the body and also identification with something which is related to him, because he has worked hard for many years or taken a loan and he has to pay the interest, and now that he has got a good car, and if it gets spoiled or get crashed, then definitely it is going to affect him because of gross ignorance. And it is very, very common. We can see everywhere people crying. It's like I remember one devotee was telling, accidentally he hit one very nice car. It was, I think, out of the showroom, maybe a week back or something. And it was a very good brand. I think it's BMW or Mercedes, whichever. And after the accident, I just took it out from the showroom. By then, it is crashed. The whole front part is gone. So this is the, he was devastated seeing the situation of his own car. So this is identification, because he has worked very hard, earned some money, and taken some loan, and now it is finished in a few seconds. And another form of gross identification is, we can see how we are, including us also, we have that element, certainly, that we try to gratify our senses. That which is not required. Of course, there is sense gratification is required for everyone, including devotees. And how much? Srila Prabhupada gives the standard of sense gratification that is required even for devotees. And what is that standard? Pretty high standard. Anyone can think of it? How much sense gratification that is recommended, ideally? Senses needs gratification, but how much? Eh? Till they like, till the senses demands are over, or what does Prabhupada write in Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada says, as much as necessary to keep the body and soul together. So that is the standard that is recommended, even for us. We can point to the people around, we can call them materialists, karmis, they are fully into sense gratification, okay, that's fine. Even for us, the recommended quota is to keep the body and soul together. Means the body needs, the senses need gratification, but at the same time it shouldn't be too much, because the prime reason for diseases is over indulgence of the senses. That is one of the key reasons for diseases. Even according to Ayurveda, it is recommended the whole science is based on what we eat and how much the body can absorb and what kind of different acids or whatever the body can produce depending on what we eat on a regulated fashion. So there is a scientific basis to it. Now, if you see the outside world, it is shocking in one sense, because we can see the animal kingdom. Means people have no more idea than how to gratify the senses. And these senses will never say no. You know, you have served me, oh dear sir, dear master, you have served me so much. And now I will give you one day break. Will it ever happen? Never. In my lifetime it has never happened that the senses are telling, no, I don't want any more. Of course, we say we don't want any more when we eat or when we do something too much. You know, there is a something concept of, what is that? The law of diminishing return, or what is that? Marginal utility, what is that? Something like that. That is, if we take anything too much, after some time we say, oh no, it's enough. It's enough. It is too much. Even the karmis say, it is too much. So Nectar Devotion calls this as bhoga, tyag. That is, after enough sense gratification, after too much of sense gratification, then there is a period where we say, it is enough. Now I am going to renounce. Now I don't want so much of gratification. And after a while, when that period is over, then again, bhoga. So it is considered a cycle where there is bhoga, there is a tyaga period, and then again, bhoga. So that is going on. Now, last week we were in the catering, so we went to Meredith, you know, it's a big music festival, supposedly music. So we cannot really call it music because it is far away from the definitions of music. At least, you know, it's a lot of sound, a lot of noise, and people are apparently trying to enjoy their senses to the max. For the ears, there is this shouting all the time, you know, dig, 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 you know, it is vibrating the whole tent, it is vibrating the heart, it is vibrating the body. And for the tongue, there is meat, too much. Of course, we have prasadam because we have the prasadam tent, so we were serving out prasadam. But apart from that, a lot of meat distribution. Then, there is so much of intoxication, and too much of intoxication. Even in the first day, we can see people lying around. So from the beginning, people are completely intoxicated. And we happen to see the tent where they serve the alcohol. And it is a massive tent. You know, it is pretty much comparable to the size of one of the tents, you know, music tents. You know, it's massive. So one of the main items of music is intoxication. So one of the part of the music is intoxication. Then I had a realization, to enjoy this music, one has to be intoxicated. Because otherwise, it is pretty difficult. if we consider the Vedic music, it is quite sophisticated. Say, if you consider technology, it is quite sophisticated in one sense. You know, there are bits and bytes, and you know, if you consider the communication or terminology, there is so much of protocol, so many details to it. In the same way, if you consider the music technology of the Vedic times, it is very sophisticated. You know, there are different, you know, swaras, you know, sari, gama, like that, and there are different combinations, and there is different ascending and descending orders, and different combinations make a different raga, and you know, there is so many rules and regulations, even with music. And here, hardly there is anything other than sound. There is nothing else, and it is a massive sound, and people can't even, you know, sleep. You know, so much of sound. It's a noise pollution. And then, of course, to enjoy this, people are completely intoxicated. So, there is no, you know, there is something, you know, to cope with. As Prabhupada says, if somebody is eating so much of meat, then one should intoxicate to digest. In the same way, to digest this kind of music, one has to be intoxicated. And it was interesting to see, you know, it was close to the New Year time, that is the New Year Eve, you know, so on 31st, maybe 11 o'clock or something, you know, went out to see what's really going on. And went to this tent where, you know, they're serving the alcohol. No, we couldn't actually get there because it was too crowded. We could see only from a distance. And it was packed. You know, so many people. and it's like a flood of people. India, you can see something like that in even Jagannath Puri for the Jagannath festival, or in the Rath cart, you know, when the Rath Yatra, we can see so much of crowd. Or we have to go to Kumbh Mela, you know, Kumbh Mela near the, you know, Prayag. Which are the rivers? Exactly what is the place of Kumbh Mela? Allahabad, yeah. In the Kumbh Mela, there are, you know, you can't see anyone, you know, just the heads you can see. If you go from top, you know, you can see a black sea or something. So it was pretty much like that, you know, too many people. And I was surprised to see so many. And it's just packed. Everyone is drunk. So this is illusion. Completely identifying with the body. And interesting enough, you know, daytime when we went to that drinking tent where they sell the alcohol, there was an express lane, beer only. you know, people are just mad, you know. Night if you go, you know, people are, you know, just, if you see, you know, somebody is lying down. This is the standard of enjoyment. Complete intoxication and complete bewilderment. So this is an example of gross identification with body and mind. And of course, as devotees, we are trying to distribute prasadam, you know, we had opportunity to do harinam, kirtan, etc. So people are benefiting, and people are, even intoxicated people, they are chanting. So I remembered one of the statement of Prabhupada. It is actually one verse from 10th canto in the 2nd chapter. It is written about the holy names. The three kinds of chanting is mentioned in that verse. One is Nirvurta Darshir Ubhagiya Mana Bhavoshada Shrotra Manopirama. So the highest class of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is Nirvurta Darshir, means who has no material affinity at all. He is aloof from all kinds of material attractions. So that is the highest class of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is, there is pure love and there is no attraction for anything material. And the next level is Bhavaushadha Shrotra, Bhava Aushadha. So that is actually applicable for many of the practicing devotees. That is Aushadhi. The holy name is nothing but Aushadhi. Aushadhi means the medicine. So medicine we have to take whether we like it or not. Especially there are some medicines which are very bitter. If you go to Ayurveda, in allopathic medicine you can't see because you are swallowing most of the medicines. But if you go to Ayurveda, you can actually feel the bitterness of the medicine. And it is very intense. I have taken, when I was a kid, many times I have taken this kind of medicines. And you know, it's like, it's a torture. But we had to take it because we had to get cured from the disease. So for practicing devotees, the holy name is compared to Bhavashadhi. It is the Aushadha, it is the medicine to get out from the, or to take us out from the material existence. So that is the second level of chanting, or one level lower. So we should at least take the holy name as a medicine. So even if we don't want to listen, even if my mind gives so many reasons not to listen the holy names of the Supreme Lord, still we should force ourselves. Understand? This time is for chanting and we have nothing else to do. And even if we listen to the holy name, or even if we do not listen to the holy name, the chanting is going to take pretty much the same time. So better listen. So that is Bhavaushadhi. Most of us may be of that platform, Bhavaushadhi. Then Manopiramat. Manopiramat means, Prabhupada explains, if we just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then it is attractive. Even to anyone, Prabhupada gives, if you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra on the street, then even people get attracted. Oh, what is that? It is nice to hear. People are chanting and dancing, it is good. So we could see even drunkard, they were dancing with, you know, like Jaga and Madai. Modern Jaga and Madai, you know, having bottle and, you know, glass and this and that on the hand, and but still very favorable. They are chanting and dancing and they are attracted to holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is lower level of chanting, but still it is chanting. And it is mentioned even in Srimad Bhagavatam, Manobhirama. So it is attractive, the holy name is attractive, and people are chanting simply because of attraction. Just because of attraction, don't know anything, no understanding whatsoever. Even if you explain the meaning of the holy name, they can't even understand because they don't have the faith to understand. So devotees are trying to give the holy name, to give prasadam, and to bring people from gross ignorance where we were maybe a few years back. So it is nothing new to us. Now, another interesting word in this verse is chitram. Chitram means variegatedness, or it is translated here as made varied. So the material existence has a lot of varieties, and people are attracted to varieties. There is music, there is drinks, you know, there also there are different varieties. Music also there are different varieties. Even in life itself there are different kinds of varieties. They try to experience so many different things. So there is variety, chitram. So that makes it attractive, or try to be attractive, at least for some time. Even though there is no real attractiveness, still force themselves to be attracted to so many things and get indulged in so many different things, and after some time get out from there. Then try something else. So this is the nature of variegatedness in the material existence. However, variegatedness is not something which is unknown to the spiritualist. It is there in the spiritual existence. Srila Prabhupada explains that variety is the mother of enjoyment. We need variety, and we are looking for variety. And that variety is actually existing in Krishna. So anything related to Krishna is completely variegated. There is so many varieties. It is chitram. Anything related to Krishna. Apparently it looks like we are chanting the same Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, again and again. Still, there is variety, because there are realizations of Krishna. From name the form comes, from the form the qualities, and from the qualities there are pastimes. And we are getting access to all of these. Even if we just consider name of Krishna, there are so many varieties of names of Krishna. And it is unlimited names of Krishna, not just one or two, unlimited. We know in South India especially, devotees, they chant the 1000 names of Vishnu. It's called Vishnu Sahasra Nama. And maybe in a few, 20 minutes you know, again just finish the 1000 names of Vishnu. It's like comes at verses, and one can actually chant, you know, the 1000 names of Vishnu. And in that, names of Krishna also comes, you know, Krishna, Govinda, so many names of Krishna, Narasimha, so many names of Krishna also comes in, within that 1000 names of Vishnu. So that is an example, even in the variety of names of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, it's very interesting in one of the purports of Prabhupada in the first canto, regarding the passing of Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada mentions, when Bhishma Dev addresses the Supreme Lord as Vijaya Sakha. Vijaya Sakha means Vijaya is none other than Arjun, who is always victorious. Vijaya. Sakha. Sakha means friend. Friend. So Krishna is addressed as Vijaya Sakha. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Lord is very much pleased to hear him addressed as Vijaya Sakha. It is said even he is more pleased because the devotees are actually connecting him to his devotees. So Vijaya is Arjun, and he is addressing as, okay, you are the friend of Arjun. To hear that, the Lord was very much pleased. So in that connection, there are so many names of the Supreme Lord, like Devakinandan, Yashodanandan, Madhusudan, so many names. When the Lord hears all these names, the Lord is very much pleased. So he is happy to be addressed along with his devotees' names, along with even his enemy's names, Madhusudana, because he killed Madhu demon, Pralambhari, Aghari, you know, he killed so many demons. So even Krishna is addressed with even his demon's name because it is connecting to his activity, so he is very much pleased. So we can see there is varieties, there is chitram even in the names of Krishna. Then when we talk about the form of the Lord, again there is so much of varieties. If you consider different incarnations, they are completely different. They are coming from the same Supreme Lord, but at the same time there is variety, so much of variety. There is Matsya, there is Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, Sri Ram, Balaram, Krishna himself, Kalki. So many incarnations of the Lord. So much so that as many waves are there in the ocean, that many incarnations are there. And there are differences to these incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So even we can see variety even in the Supreme Lord. And not only that, even if we consider just one form of the Supreme Lord, even if we just focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, still there are so much of variety in him. We can see in nectar devotion. If we just consider one aspect of the Lord, if we just consider his garland, there are so much of varieties in his garland. It is mentioned in 10th canto, it is Vanachitramalya. Even the same word is used. Chitra. Vanachitramalya. That is his Vanamala, his Vajayanti garland. That itself is so many varieties within. So many different kinds of flowers. If we consider Krishna's clothes, there are many different varieties. And if we go to the paraphernalia room, we can see so many different sets. Maybe hundreds. It is mentioned, Krishna has, you know, unlimited varieties of dresses. It is mentioned, Ghanda Ghandidam Bhuri Natavesha Kriyochitam Aneka Varnam Vasanam Bhuishtam Kathitam Budhai. Ghanda Ghandidam Bhuri. Bhuri means too many. We can't count. Ghanda means which is cut. Akhandidam means which is uncut. So Krishna's clothes which decorate Krishna, some clothes are pieces which are cut into pieces and some are full, big robes. So even both these things are too many. Khanda Khandidam Bhuri. Natavesha Kriyochitam and Aneka Varnam Vasanam. Aneka Varnam means it is too many different colors. It is very decorative and it is so many different varieties. Aneka Varnam Vasanam. And that is Natavesha Kriyochitam. Natavesha Kriyochitam means that which is befitting a performing actor. So we can see, if you go for any performance, the actors are very well dressed and they have different attire. And Krishna is performing his art all the time. So he has many different sets of clothes and that is multicolored and it is befitting him perfectly. So that is the beauty of Krishna. That is the variegatedness of Krishna. That is Chitram. That is the real variety. And if you see even Krishna's growth in the Gokul Vrindavan, because in the spiritual world, Krishna is always Navayavanam Cha. He is always grown up. He is always Navayavanam. However, if you see in the Gokul Vrindavan, Krishna is growing, which is contradictory. Because here it's mentioned the soul cannot transform. Then how can the Supreme Soul could transform? The soul, there is no change. Bhagavad Gita also mentions in the second chapter. There is no change to the soul. In that regard, there is an interesting point. That is, only in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the information of soul is presented by Krishna. Further on, Krishna doesn't actually elaborate or discuss as much on the information of the soul. And what is the significance of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita? It is a summary, it is the contents. It is actually the table of contents of whole Bhagavad Gita. So the soul information is only provided in the contents of Bhagavad Gita, not further. Why? Because that information is so basic. And even that is so basic and if it is so prevalent even within the Vedic culture, so that Krishna thought there is no need to mention further on. So he has given enough information, that is from the verse 11 till 30, it's quite a bit of verses, around 20 verses. But that's about it. Krishna hasn't given any further information. And in those verses, in the middle, Krishna says, okay, we can transform the soul. However, Krishna is transforming. He was a kid. He was in Kauma. He was a baby. And even when he was a baby, still he is manifesting variegatedness. How? It is mentioned, if a small leaf, and that too, a just sprout, you know, a leaf that is just coming out from a tree, which is, you can understand, it is very, very delicate. Even if that leaf falls on Krishna's body, then what happens? There is bruise on Krishna's body. It is mentioned the soft skin becomes red and there is a small bruise. So that is the softness of Krishna's skin. It is mentioned, Ahaha Navambuta Kanda Amushya Sukumarata Kumarasya. That is, see the, you know, the tender nature of Krishna's body. Sukumarata means the tender. His body is so tender. Because just a small leaf which is just sprouted from the tree, when it falls on Krishna's body, it creates transformation. So even the soul, there is no transformation, but a leaf can cause transformation to Krishna's body. It is completely inconceivable. At the same time, Krishna just kicked Shakatasura with his small leg and he died. The whole cart got collapsed. Shakatasura means the cart demon. When you understand, the Krishna's body is so soft, but at the same time, when he just touched, just like a baby just touched the cart of Shakatasura, the whole cart became collapsed and the demon was dead. So can we see the epitome of variety in Krishna's body? It is there. How about Putana? He could just suck the life. It is mentioned, Anantam Aropitam Angam Antakam. That is, Putana did a mistake. She wanted to kill. There is a contradiction in that statement. Anantam Aropitam Angam Antakam. That is, she wanted to kill who cannot be killed. That was a mistake, what she did. Anantam Aropitam. The reason is, Aropitam means she kept Antakam, her own assassin, who will be killed. She will be killed by Krishna, whom Putana kept on her lap. And why he can't be killed? That is mentioned in the same line, actually. Anantam. He is Ananta, he is unlimited, and who cannot be killed by anyone. So she wanted to kill him. And as we see, he actually sucked the milk, the life air. So he was finished. She was finished. Then it is mentioned further in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, Krishna is further growing up. So from Balya, it's the Balya. And from Kaumara, he is actually coming to the stage of Pauganda. Even within Balya, there is a stage where Krishna is crawling. So it is mentioned again, it is very interesting. It sounds as if Krishna is affected by the time. And the same word is used in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kalena Vrajadalpena Rama Krishnascha Govraje Janupyam Saha Panipyam Ringamano Vijahrutuhu. That is, Kalena Vrajadalpena. That is, just the time passed. The time is passing, meaning the Krishna and Balaram, even though they have the transcendental body, which cannot be affected by the time, still they are affected by the time. So that is Kalena Vrajadalpena. Even just passing a little bit of time. Then, Ramakrishnascha Govraje. The Lord Ram and Krishna in the Govraje, in the covered land of Vrindavan. Janupyam Saha Panipyam. They started using the knee as well as the feet to move around. Meaning, they started crawling in the mud of Vrindavan. So, this is influence of time. So, they are manifesting the variety even in their growth. And they had the whole pastimes, you know, the crawling pastimes of Krishna. And further, he has the Damodar pastime, when he actually started walking. So, it is mentioned, even again, Kalejam Rajadalpena. Even when the further time passed, okay, they stopped using their knee, they stopped crawling, rather they started walking. So this is growth, this is change, this is variety. And ultimately, we can see Krishna is always, in his pastimes, he is manifesting varieties. So many varieties. If you see Bhagavatam, we can see an ocean of varieties. And as we know, this is not complete. There is unlimited pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavatam is only presenting, we can say, a major ones, because every moment there is pastimes going on in the spiritual world. And so many. It's like one time Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was asked a question. Srila Prabhupada was Guru Maharaj. So there was this, I think, Navadeep Prakashika, or one newsletter which was published by Bhaktisiddhanta. So this letter, this newspaper was coming out, it was a daily, just like the normal newspapers, you know, which talks about so many mundane affairs In the same way, you know, the newspaper was full of spiritual affairs. There was no mundane affairs. And this was everyday paper, newspaper. So one politician came to visit Bhaktisiddhanta and he asked Bhaktisiddhanta, why? He was surprised. He said, how is it possible that you have a daily on the spiritual subject matters? Usually people write spiritual books in a few books in one lifetime or in a few monthly. That's alright, but how can it possible to have a daily on the spiritual subject matters? So in reply to that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, actually, we can publish newspapers about the spiritual world every second. Every second. The only thing what is lacking is we don't have enough audience to read. Otherwise we can produce it daily. Not daily, every moment, every day. So that much is happening. What is the happening place? That's not the material world. That is the spiritual world. And if we had to see, if we had to get a glimpse of that happening place, then open Srimad Bhagavatam. No one can say, okay, I had to go there to see. Yes, you can go there, just read Srimad Bhagavatam. It is there. All the varieties are provided within Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see, even in one verse, we can see so much. So much. So many different aspects of Krishna are mentioned even in just one verse. So what to speak about whole Srimad Bhagavatam? Just one verse. So much. I was reading the other verse, you know, got some time to read, you know, the past few days. I was just reading one verse. You know, so many information. I was just shocked to see just one verse. How much? The verse I was reading was, it is from the 44th chapter of the 10th canto, I think the 13th verse. It's about talking about Vrindavan, the ladies in Mathura glorifying the land of Vrindavan. Punyobada Vrajabhuo. You know, how glorious are the land of Vrindavan? Yadayam Nirlinga. The reason is, the Lord, there is, we see, okay, it is glorifying Vrindavan. And why is glorifying Vrindavan? Yadayam Nirlinga. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has come, and that too, in the form of human beings. Apparently, they look like human beings. Nirlinga. Gudha Purana Purusha Vanachitra Malya. So that is Gudha Purana Purusha. And the Lord is Gudha, is incognito. No one can understand. Purana Purusha, he is the original Supreme Lord. Vana Chitra Malya. And there again the word Chitra Malya. Chitra Malya, the variegatedness. And he is wearing a garland which is full of varieties of flowers. Then again it comes to the past tense of the Lord. Mentioned. Gapalayan Sahabala Konayam Chavenum. Gapalayan, no, he is just herding the cows along with Sahabala, along with Baladev. Konayam Chavetum. And he is actually vibrating the flute. Vikridanchita Giritra Ramachitankri. And he is performing so much of pastimes. And it is presented in a very wonderful way. It is mentioned, his lotus feet is walking everywhere. He is placing his lotus feet everywhere. And that lotus feet is being worshipped by Lord Shiva and Rama. Rama is goddess of fortune. It's a nice presentation. I was thinking, it's just amazing. How just in one verse, so many things are there about the Supreme Lord, the whole philosophy is there. And even Rama can refer to Srimati Radharani. She is the ultimate goddess of fortune. So much is there in just one verse, just four lines. And each word is so significant. And each word is giving so much of meaning. So that is the variety of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can get the variety directly from verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't have to look into anything. And of course, to go further in our spiritual life, we have to take guidance from the spiritual master. That is the most important thing. One has to get initiated, one has to take shelter of his bona fide spiritual master. One has to get initiated and follow the instructions as given by the spiritual master. Then actually one can get into Srimad Bhagavatam. In this regard, there is a very, very interesting story. I was talking to one devotee yesterday and I found it is very interesting. One time, there was a martial artist teacher. He was a martial artist and he was teaching. He was a guru. He was teaching martial art. So one person, he had a very much liking to learn martial art. At the same time, he had only one hand. So he didn't have the left hand, only right hand. So he was incapacitated in that way. So he approached his teacher and requested, "Could you please teach me martial art?" So the teacher said, "Yes, I can." So, you know, the teacher didn't mind about his problem till he started the course. You know, he was teaching. Day after day he was teaching. Week after week he was teaching. Month after month he was teaching. However, he was only teaching one move. It was only one particular step that he was teaching. Nothing else. So actually 1 year passed. And our student became frustrated. Because I'm only getting learned only one move, the whole 1 year, the same move, again and again and again. So he said, "I'm going to drop out." He was decent. He approached his teacher and said, "Okay, I'm going to drop out. It's enough for me. You have only taught me one thing. I'm going to drop." So the teacher said, "No, wait. First, you participate in a competition of martial arts. And after that, you can drop out if you wish." So the student said, "What's the whole point? I know only one step particularly, and then I had to participate in a martial arts competition, which is, you know, it's a real game. You know, you'll get hit and you can be, you know, finished. So what's the whole point in attempting even for that?" So, but teacher persisted. He said, "No, you should go for that." So our student said, "All right, you have insisted so much, and I have spent 1 year even on one step. So okay, fine." So he went about and the competition started. The first round finished, and in the first round he got completely beaten up. Which is understandable, there is nothing new to it. And which is imaginable, he got beaten up, that's fine. And okay, he was determined, so he went to the second round. And in the second round, our student beat the opponent completely, smashed him down. And he won the competition. So the student was completely astonished to see this. So he went to the teacher and asked, "How come I won this competition? Because there is no possibility whatsoever. Because first of all, I am handicapped, and you know he has both hands and he knows all the skills, and I know only one thing. That is one step, and still I won. And I could actually beat him down. How was it possible?" Then the teacher said, "Actually, I taught you one step. There is one reason behind that. The reason is, when the opponent is on one particular side, that is when he is on your left side, with this step actually you can put him down with your right hand. And to save for the opponent to save, the only move is to hold on to your left hand, and which you don't have." So that is, I only taught you that step, because that is the only step by which you can defeat, completely smash the opponent. And if he comes to that particular position, you know the step and you can beat him down. That's the only way. And you did that. So you won. So then the student understood, okay, why the teacher only taught him one step for the whole year. So the same principle we had to understand even in our own life. That is, the teacher knows what is plus about us, what is positive in us, and what is negative. The strength and weakness the teacher knows. So he can guide us accordingly. So even in our spiritual life, when we develop our relationship with the spiritual master, we have to understand, they know what is our strength and our weakness. And even in our conversation, we can mention, you know, what are our problems, what are we lacking, and they can see. Because Krishna gives the mercy, the spiritual master see us, and they can know our strength and weakness. Because Krishna gives the intelligence to see us. So that is the way. So when we approach the spiritual master, they know. So the only problem, only thing what we had to do is, take their guidance wholeheartedly and follow it. Then we can see the result. As mentioned in this verse, instead of identifying with the material variegatedness and being completely bewildered, one can get into the spiritual variegatedness where one becomes happy and satisfied. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Rob. Oh, you didn't have questions? All right. You can ask a question. If I know the answer, I can ask.
Well, I didn't want to get out of the other, but I meant to get the size. heaven with their good.
I can read this. So this is a question by Michael Prabhu. After one has followed the Krishna consciousness process nicely, including approaching and being initiated by a bona fide guru, rising above the three modes and stepping onto the transcendental platform, what are the perceivable and explainable differences one will notice? One simple answer I can give. Okay, basically after following Krishna consciousness, getting initiated and coming to the spiritual platform, what's the difference that one can see? Alright, it's pretty simple, straightforward, even if you don't have to go to that further. This is, you know, completely coming to the spiritual standard and, you know, initiated. Even if you just, this is a specific question, but generally answering the question, even we can understand how we were before Krishna consciousness and how we are after taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, even to some degree. Everyone can actually look into oneself. Is it correct? That's right. Yes, the time difference still, since we have a material body, so the body is subject to the time.
Yeah,
it is subject to the time. Anyway, you have given the hint and the answer. Maybe it's too far, there is no harm. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki, Sandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.